Welcome to Real Hope. This is your host, Tamara D. Taylor, where I help you create a life that you love at home and on the go. We share practical tips on home organization, decorating, and family travel. So whether you need a simple way to tidy up, create smart storage, or help prepare for your next vacation, we offer everyday solutions that are practical and on a budget. So stay tuned as we help you turn your house into a real home. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Real Home. Today is a very special episode. I am so excited that on today's episode, I get to have the comparable and amazing Coach E joining us. Say hello.
Hey, everyone. How are you?
All right. So on today's episode, we're going to be digging in. We're going to be talking about how to create a home on a budget and utilizing smart spending tips. Now, let me go ahead and be very transparent. There have been plenty of times that Coach E has stepped on my toes when it comes to budgeting, money, and how I'm spending. She gives practical tips. This is not fluff. She gives practical tips on what you need to do. So if you're a household that really needs some help, don't know where to start, this is the episode that you need to tune into, and making sure that you even share this episode with friends and family so everyone will understand how to prepare their home and how to have a spending plan. So I want to take a few moments and let Coach E give all of her accolades and give an introduction about herself.
Well, hello, hello, hello again. I'm Coach E. Thank you, Tamara D. Taylor, for having me on your show, Real Home, to talk about, you know, one of the biggest things that most people fall short in, and that's their budget. I don't like to call it a budget. I like to call it a spending plan. Budget to me is real restrictive, whereas a spending plan says, hey, I know I'm going to spend the money because money is currency, right? And it's always right. Supposed to be moving. So I know it's going to leave my hands, but I have a plan on how I'm going to let it move from my hands. So that's why I like to call it a spending plan. But again, I'm Coach E. I'm a business coach. I have a 20-year history in mortgages and banking. I've also have been a licensed insurance agent, well, broker, helping people protect their assets. I help people currently, like I said, as a business coach, to build out their businesses and thrive beyond the 5-year time period where most businesses fail. I'm also co-owner of Harp Sound Media and Entertainment. If you don't know about us, go check us out. We're at harpsoundradio.com, or you can download us in your Apple Store app store or your Google Play store. It is a 24/7 hip hop and R&B radio station. And every Thursday you can hear Real Home being played, the newest episode at 6 p.m. in the evening time. So look, that's enough about me. I don't want to talk too much about me because I'm not really the reason why we're here. We're here to talk about these spending plans.
Yes, I love how you just put what a spending plan is. So I would like for you to take a moment to elaborate, because you also mentioned currency. And when I think about currency, I think about the flow, the movement. How you said, you know, you're going to spend the money. And we do. The thing about it is, are we planning to spend it, or are we just kind of haphazardly just kind of doing whatever? And then we're trying to figure out at the end of the month why I'm missing out, or why something didn't get paid, or why is my money not stretching till my next paycheck? So I would like for you to elaborate a little bit more, because I love how you put that, what a spending plan is. And then also, what are some of the most common pitfalls that people run into when trying to devise a spending plan?
Okay, so let's just kind of start right here. I love to talk statistically, right?
Yes.
90% of people do not create a spending plan. And that's
average. You say 90?
Yes, about 90% of people do not create a spending plan. Majority of us do not. Wow. Majority of us, we get our money and or currency and we just send it out, right? Most of us have no idea of where it goes. We're not even conscious about where it goes. We're habitual creatures. We do things out of habit. So, you know, I get paid, I go do this, I go do that, I go do the other. And then whatever's left, I'm gonna do this, do that, the other, okay? Before I go any further, I am gonna recommend, if you haven't read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, go and read it. You really wanna really get an understanding of your money, okay? Because your money is currency. Currency is meant to constantly be moving. When you go to work, yes, some of us are not business owners. Some of us are truly self-employed or employees. So the thing about it is that we want to get from the left side of the quadrant to the right side of the quadrant. That should be all of our goals, right? We don't want to work so hard for money. We want money to eventually work for us. Yes. The problem is because we don't create spending plans, how we want to spend our money so that we can start grabbing assets, we end up building liabilities. And so after a while, we find ourselves so debt heavy. So we got all of this credit card debt. And so we're more concerned about a credit score than we are an asset. The purpose of having a credit score is to be able to leverage other people's money in order to gain assets that will pay for what you use credit for. But that's not what is taught to us. A lot of us go out here and we use our credit to go buy frivolous stuff. I'm going to use my credit to buy clothes. I'm going to use my credit to go buy TVs. I'm going to use my credit to go out to eat. The frivolous things. If you cannot afford to do that with your paycheck, then you don't need to get it. If you say, I barely have enough money to make it from day to day, from my paycheck, my first suggestion to you would be to slow down and to track where your money is going. Most of the times when I sit down with clients, they will tell me, I'm not burning up my money. I barely spend my money on anything. But then I'm wondering, well, how are you going out to eat? How are you traveling from here to there? How are you getting your hair done, your nails done, your feet done? How are you doing all of these things? I remember sitting under a pastor years ago. He said, sometimes you're in a season where you got to make you look good. You can't go out and spend the money for somebody else to make you look good. You got to learn how to cut your hair. You got to learn how to do your own hair. There are seasons. And that's the thing. We have to be okay with seasons. What season am I in when it comes to me building?
You've given some great nuggets right there. So I want to pause you for a moment because I want to break this down and make it as simplistic for those that may not understand. Can you explain the difference between an asset and a liability for those that may not know?
Yeah, an asset is something, and we're going to talk about an income producing asset, right? And then there's just an asset. So for the sake of our conversation, we're going to say an asset is something that increases in value. In this conversation, you have what they call depreciating assets too. But in this conversation, we're speaking of assets that appreciate. They grow in its they grow in its value over time. So those are the assets that we're speaking of. Then there are what they call liabilities. Liabilities are things that subtract from you. Those are your debts that you pay. What is a liability? And I don't want to start splitting hairs with this, but liabilities are your car payments, are your utility bills. They're things that are not appreciating in value. And I want to keep it as very simplistic for this conversation.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I appreciate that understanding of the difference between an asset and a liability. Now, you also said there are seasons and you have to know what season that you're in, because some of us, you know, as you mentioned, we 90% do not have a budget. So when you're out shopping and we're getting those things that we enjoy, our hair done, nails done, toes done, if we're in a season that we're supposed to be saving, or, you know, whatever season you may be in, and it may be hard for you to kind of answer this, but for someone that don't know, what are some of the things that they should be cognizant of to making sure that they're like on track for where they are personally. And I know it's a personal evaluation that they have to do with self.
So if we can be real raw and candid,
yes.
Most people spend based on an emotion.
An emotion. And I'm guilty.
It's not based on knowledge and wisdom.
Yes.
So whenever I deal with someone that is in some type of debt, There is something in the backdrop that was working, whether it was a scarcity mindset or an emotion. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a scarcity mindset for a second.
Yes.
That is someone that feels like there's not going to ever be enough, or someone that feels like, I don't know when this is going to leave me. So they spend uncontrollably. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a lot of us that have been in any type of trauma or hardship, and it's lasted for a specific period of time, have developed a scarcity mindset. Mm-hmm. Scarcity works opposite of a wealth mindset. A wealth mindset or a prospering mindset is always moving forward and always building. A scarcity mindset is stuck in the fear of never having enough. So when we are going and dealing with our financial financial growth, yes, we have to understand, what kind of emotion do I have working here? Because fear is the root of the scarcity.
Fear. I like that. That's good. Okay, fear. So fear is what kind of operates. So when I think about that, I also kind of go back and think about the people who are hoarders, for instance. You know, I know a lot of times there's some deeper things that are working in the backdrop with those that hoard and hold on to or have such an excess of stuff. And so when you say it, that fear kind of keeps you there at that scarcity mindset. That's kind of what it puts me in the mind of, because of that overabundance. They are hoarding so much stuff and they are afraid to let go because of whatever emotion that is keeping them hostage there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Most of the time, especially if you're listening and you're like, look, I'm in so much debt and I don't know how to come out. It's a process. It's a process. It really is. And I don't mean to say like that. I apologize.
You're fine. And even here, you said it's a process. One thing it reminds me of is, even though when you're sitting down, because of your expertise, and when you're sitting down with someone, you're walking them and helping them identify and walking them through the process. But this is not a one size fit all. So you can't just say, I can put this in a particular box because it doesn't fit there. Everybody's situation is different. Their mindset is different. They could have experienced different trauma or just weren't taught. Some of us just are ignorant because we weren't taught certain things. We don't understand. And so you're coming in, starting on that ground level to really educate and help them understand and get them out of that emotional place, helping them to see and identify, which also means they have to be open to truth.
Yeah. And so the other, and you kind of, I want to kind of go here for a quick second and then I'll kind of go where you are. So another one outside of scarcity mindset is that, you know, the old saying, you're keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes.
There's a comparison spirit there that I like to talk about. I'm comparing where I am financially to where someone else is financially. I want to keep up certain appearances. I want to appear to have this, appear to have that. I want to appear to seem as if I got it together. And so there are a lot of communities where people will be broke, but still appear to be affluently growing financially, right? And that's just not healthy at all, because eventually everything is going to give out on you. You know, most people say, I need to just make more money and I'll be better. Well, the real goal is, what are you doing with the money that you're making? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have to start making that money work for you, right? Yeah. And then once you can begin to make that money work for you, then you can start to increase. I like to call it revenue, because your home is your first business. That's what one of my mentors taught me. And as I took a step back, I realized, the first business you learn how to run is your house. Mm. It's your house. So revenue coming in your house is important, right? Expenses going out of your house is important, right?
Right.
So here's the thing. And people probably will argue with me with this, and I'm okay with that. But one of the things that I personally believe is that one of the ways to come out of debt is you got to start building assets. Most people believe that I need to pay off my debt first. Mm-hmm. But it's a constant cycle.
It is.
So at some point, you need to start acquiring assets that are building in value that maybe within time you can cash out and pay some of these debts. And you do need to have a plan for how you're going to repay. But you cannot think that you're going to come out of this thing if you're not building. Are you saving something? Even if you're putting $25 towards your savings and $25 towards some type of investment, and you know, you want to do something for yourself. So maybe $25 for you and the bank, the rest of it is you got to pay bills. Okay, fine. I get that. But you have to have a plan on how to come out of it. You know, there's always the textbook way of coming out of it, right? Yeah. But everybody's way, what everybody deals with is different.
Very much so.
And if I want to build wealth, I need to have more assets than I do liabilities.
And
at some point, I need to have assets that's going to pay me while I'm going to check in and out of this 9-to-5 job, because I know what my income is from day in and day out. So nothing is really changing.
Right.
But I got to track and see how I'm spending what I got to figure out what do I really have that I can leverage.
I like that. I like that. And so as you were talking, it reminded me of stewardship, you know, hearing you say that your home is your first business. And I never really put that into perspective that, you know, you want your home running as the old saying is, like a well-oiled machine. Well, take some things that you have to do. But it also puts me in a mindset of stewardship. And are we being good stewards over what we have and building? So I like that you have to have more assets and being able to build those assets in order to come out of some things and leverage. So everything isn't just a liability and you just see everything going out and then you're getting frustrated because you don't have anything. And also the savings. So basically what I hear you saying is have a starting point. Even if it's on a smaller scale, have some type of a starting point where you're putting some money aside into a savings account, into this income producing revenue here, and then having a certain amount for yourself. That way you're starting, and then as you're able to build out, then you can kind of grow it from there. So
with everything, a plan is knowing what to do, right? And we have to go back to the simplistic part of what is your goal? Mm-hmm. What is your goal? So maybe
Let's look on that for a second, because you're saying even in your household, you should have goals.
Well, everything that you do in life, there should be goals. Or are you just existing? So if I'm supposed to mark when I accomplish that goal, celebrate it, and move to the next.
Okay.
If I don't have goals, if you don't have goals, then you're just existing.
Okay.
So there should be purpose to everything. Purpose. So if I'm creating a spending plan, what am I creating my plan to do? Why is it important? Mm-hmm. I have to have a mission and a vision for my house.
Mm.
Again, we're running it As a business.
As a business, you're right. So in your business, you have a mission, a vision, you have goals.
You have a spending plan.
Yeah, and you have a spending plan.
And then you have a checks and balances. You do bookkeeping. You go back and you look at where the money went, how it went out there. Were you spent money at? Did it help the business? Did it harm the business? Do we need to continue in that route? We forecast, reforecast, replan. We're constantly doing that in business because we're growing. Yeah. Right? We want to be profitable. Well, your household should grow and be profitable.
So how often should we be going back to look at our bookkeeping and readdressing and reassessing and forecasting within
a minimum of every month? You should be looking at how you're spending your money at least a minimum of every month. You should be looking at this month of what you did last month. And that should be happening. Look at your receipts. If you say, look, I don't use cash, everything is a swipe, that's fine. Look at them bank statements. See where that money went. Mm-hmm. You want to be very mindful of where you're putting your dollars. Okay. Are you putting the bulk of your dollars where it is able to grow? We talk about stewardship, but the real thing about stewardship is you recognize that everything you have is not your own. It belongs to the greater power, our higher power, because everything belongs to him. And so whatever he gives you, whatever portion you receive, that is what you are to increase. Everything that you do in life is about increase.
Increase.
So if you're in a scarcity mindset, you're not increasing. You're trying to sustain.
Yeah.
You're trying to stay afloat. Mm-hmm. You're just trying to manage where you are.
Yeah.
But when you get into a wealth and a prosperous mindset, then it's about increase. How do I increase what I got? How do I grow that dollar to two? How do I grow that 2 to 4? How did I grow that 4 to 8? How do I keep moving things along? It's the same thing.
Okay. Woo, you're giving some good nuggets today, Coach E. You are giving some good nuggets. So when people are looking at all of their stuff, I know there's a lot of different, you know, people that use apps, they use different forms of technology. Some just use the old school. Is there any recommendations or one over the other that, you know, when you're sitting down, what could you recommend someone that's just literally hearing this episode? They're saying, okay, I got to shift and change my mindset. I got to get into a place of increase. I got to get rid of that fear and that scarcity mindset, create that mindset of purpose and wealth. Now that I want to take some time, how often, I know you said you should do it monthly, what are some of the steps that you give people at the beginning to really set them up for success?
Well, the first thing is to identify where your mindset is.
Okay.
That's the first thing. Because here's the thing. Everybody wants to say, well, I'm at a wealth and a prosperous mindset. Well, if you're in a lot of debt, you probably are not. So that's the first part of being truthful. You know, one of the hardest things that I had to get was acceptance. Mm. When I realized that I was a hot mess, I had to come into a place of acceptance. Some people say, well, that hurts. Yeah, it is going to hurt because you know what? You've been governing you and you are a mess. And so
you have to lord over yourself and not letting a higher power and not letting God be in that position. We tend to do that.
So when you realize that, okay, I am a mess, I don't know it all. Mm-hmm. I really don't know it all. I haven't spent time to learn more than what I know. Because here's the thing, sometimes we think that what we know is accurate because we saw our mother, our father, our aunties, our uncles, our grandparents do it. Yeah, that doesn't mean that it was accurate. And that might have worked back in their season. It's just not working in your season. Okay, so it's acceptance. What kind of mindset do I really have? We got to address the mind. And as we're addressing the mind, then we find books and we start speaking affirmations. that begins to change things. And I just want to table this for a second, because I remember a few years ago, I was on someone's podcast and she asked me about affirmations. I was like, I don't do affirmations. And I really, you know, I'm gonna be honest, I'm not that trendy person. I don't do what everybody else is doing. So at that time, I wasn't doing affirmations. I just felt it was a trend that everybody was doing. And I just didn't want to be a part. But then now I can tell you, looking back, that was probably the stupidest answer I gave. Ever. I do affirm. Mm-hmm. I do affirmations. I affirm certain things that I know I will be and am being in my life, because I say it that way, because I may not represent it now, but I'm going to keep affirming and I'm going to keep moving myself in that direction that I will be. And so I'm saying that is because affirmations are important. You have to keep affirming, I will be wealthy. I will have an overflow. I will be, you know, if being a millionaire is what you want to be, I will be. I am a millionaire. And if I can break that down for a moment, I was having this conversation with my daughter, I think on Friday. And I said to her, I said, look, I said, it ain't hard these days to become a millionaire. It's not hard. Own a house, on a house and a couple of, you know, and a 401k, because you've been putting money in for a while, mm-hmm. and maybe a couple of other little assets, bam, you're a millionaire. It doesn't take much these days for us to become millionaires. Now, to make a million a year in revenue, now that takes a little bit more effort.
So there are two different things, because most people think of being a millionaire as in having cash liquidity in the bank. But you're saying those assets that you have.
Well, why you got cash in the bank to make you a millionaire? That's the worst place for you to have your money.
Okay, well, come on, educate us.
If you have $1 million sitting in the bank, that means it's not working for you. So that's the worst thing. What did I say? Money is currency. It's meant to be moving. Let that thing move and get you some assets.
Okay, okay. Go ahead. You teaching today.
Well, I was yielding because you had said that, and I just wanted to go ahead.
Yeah, because I was like, okay. So just to make sure I'm clear and understanding, as well as the listeners, you can become a millionaire by having those assets. You're looking at the total value of those assets can total up $1 million. So that is how you could become a millionaire, and then you will go on noise. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that was just good, and I wanted to bring a little clarity.
I can be broke and still have a couple of $1 million in assets. Why do I say that? And I'm not talking about from a mindset being broke, okay? But I may not have enough revenue coming in, but I got them assets.
And those assets is what's causing, well, not causing, but those assets is what's totaling up.
And if I'm too afraid to leverage an asset,
to that fear,
but I can be broke. But see, you don't want to have a bunch of assets and no revenue.
Okay. Speak on that.
Because that's what makes you broke. If you have no revenue, if you don't have enough revenue to support the lifestyle that you want to live, but you got a lot of assets, right? Something is going to have to be adjusted.
Okay.
So you always want to have revenue coming into your home, and that should be increasing too.
Your revenue.
But it's a step-by-step process.
Okay. Whew, you giving some good nuggets on today. And so to go back to my question for a moment, I know you said you would start with your mindset. So the acceptance, where's your mindset, and affirmation and books, finding some books. One of the things I can honestly say is you have always been big on personal development, and you have been preaching personal development for years. Excuse me.
And you know why that is because one of my mentors, he always preaches personal development to me. He always does. And, you know, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I get real busy and I can't read, but I will play Audibles so that I can hear the book if I can't sit and read the book. Because it's important. You want to always get new information in you, right?
Yeah,
but I always tell people, what is information if it's if you don't know how to apply it? It means nothing. Information without wisdom means nothing. Knowledge without wisdom is just pointless. I can know a whole lot of stuff. Have you ever met somebody that knew a lot and you're looking at them like, yo, why are you struggling like that? Probably because they're missing wisdom. Wisdom tells you how to apply what you got.
Say that one more time. Wisdom tells
tells you how to apply what you got.
Ah. So you need
Solomon asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for more money. He asked for wisdom.
He did.
But everybody gets so excited. But what Solomon said, basically, I need to know how to use what I got. So wisdom told him how to use what he got. And so we don't sit around wise people. We don't want wise counsel. Wisdom begets wisdom. So if you the only one you sitting with, or you sitting with people that just as ignorant as you are, you're not getting any wisdom.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Wisdom begets wisdom. So sit with others, which is why you want to always be. I think it was you had mentioned about being in circles where you're not the smartest in the room, being around other people, because you're able to glean, learn, and grasp and have mature conversations with others that know more than you.
Right. That's the one thing I believe. If you're the smartest person, a gentleman that I admire so much, I call him my brother. This years ago, we talked about this. He said to me, he said, Erica, if you're the smartest person in your group, get out of it. Mm. Why? What are you learning? Everybody's pulling from you. If you're the smartest person, get out of it. And find some people that you're not smarter than. Now, see here, you know, when I say that, you got to think about it. Here comes the spirit of intimidation. Oh, I don't belong. I don't belong. You're right. You probably don't belong. But go get in there. So that eventually you'll start looking. You'll start talking and getting the knowledge and the wisdom that they got.
That is very true. That spirit of intimidation. And going back to what you said earlier, comparison, because you looking around and you sitting there looking like, I don't belong here, or I feel uncomfortable. And I
uncomfortable is perfect.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable is perfect. If you live a life where you never get uncomfortable, and see, here's the thing, we got to be careful with this uncomfortable thing. Mm-hmm. Right, because we can stay in cycles and get uncomfortable about the same thing over and over again. No. There should be stretching. There should be real stretching, and that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But we have to learn to get uncomfortable. When I talked about getting to a circle where you are not the smartest one in the bunch, that's being uncomfortable. You're going to face some things when you're uncomfortable. You're going to face insecurities. You're going to face intimidation as you are growing. Eventually, it won't be the same as you're growing, because you'll know, okay, I know this is a part of what comes with me coming up a level. Right? Wow. I got to come up some. And so I won't battle with the insecurities or the intimidation because I got that. So then there's another thing that you'll have to deal with. But that's the part of being uncomfortable. Being uncomfortable in your emotions and your skin.
Yeah, that's where the growth can come in those places that you just spoke about. Because as you're there, then you can grow, you're gleaning, you're learning. So, and yeah, you're facing yourself. So, all right. You are hitting some things on the head, and I hope and pray that this episode is really helping some folk. So tell me a little bit, if you will, we're going to dig into for a moment when people are frustrated. They've set goals. They feel like they just can't either keep up with their goals. They're beating themselves up because they've strayed away from their goals. Or they're just like, what I have coming in just ain't cutting it. It ain't enough. I just don't know what to do. And I need help because I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm dealing with anxiety. And I'm just not sure how to make it through this.
So that's a whole lot right there. So first of all, let's address frustration.
Okay.
You're frustrated because there's something that you're missing. There's, for me, I am very, to know Coach E, you know that I'm very spiritual.
Yes.
And I'm always getting checked by the Lord. That's how I feel. It's okay, because I'd be like, Lord, I'm probably one of your hardest cookies here. But we're going to keep it moving. But frustration is because there's something that you're missing. And normally it's, you know, you're out of pocket with something. Mm. Okay, that's why frustration is hitting. I was told that by an apostle that I used to sit under. You got to sit back. Why are you frustrated? It's something you're missing. It's something you're doing that you need to stop.
Okay.
Then when we talk about anxiety comes from fear. It comes from fear.
Fear has been the topic. Fear has been creating a whole lot in this conversation.
Well, fear is, besides pride, fear is one of those other ones that just kind of sneak in and just kind of take resonance. Mm-hmm. Pride is another one. You're so prideful. You don't even realize it's pride, but your stubborn is all get out. You're stuck in your way. You don't want to change. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows more than you. I can't believe they said that to me. I can't be corrected. All that foolishness, pride. You can't, there's no growth when there's fear and pride resting.
No growth when fear and pride is resting. Okay.
So you have to work to come out of those mindsets. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, depending on how deeply rooted it is, because it could be a thing that your parents dealt with, their parents dealt with. So it's generational. It may take you a little longer. But it was one thing that I said to a person. I said, don't let nobody tell you how long it takes for your deliverance, because we got the audacity to tell people you've been dealing with that too long.
Yeah, we got a timeline on it, don't we?
We don't know how deeply rooted that thing is.
Yeah, that is so true. That is good.
So when you're in a place of being frustrated, take time, sit down. Like, sit down. Stop doing everything. Because chances are you're moving like this. You're just constantly moving.
Yeah.
And you're not processing what you're doing because you're just moving out of habit and fear.
Yeah,
why do I say fear? Because you have all of these debts and you're afraid, I can't miss a debt, I can't this, I can't that, I can't that, I can't that. So now you are in bondage to that mess. How can you be free to come out?
Mm.
See, we want to make everything about more money, but it's our mindset and our belief system. So our hearts, we got to deal with that. That's the core. I tell people all the time, I can help a dummy. Mm-hmm. Really? Someone with no sense at all. Budget. Clean their credit. Have good credit. But to build wealth, it takes more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, you got me over here writing some stuff down. All right, so we got to deal with the heart, deal with the mindset. We got some fear that's in the backdrop that's helping navigate with pride. And we got to figure out how to overcome all of that. First and foremost.
Yeah, because we talk about financial literacy. And if you haven't heard any of my shows, I do a weekly show on Harp Sound Radio as well called Coach Talk. It comes on every Wednesday at 5 p.m. And last week we talked about financial literacy. I wanted to talk about generational wealth, you know, because that's a hot button topic that everybody wants to talk about, generational wealth. And I broke that thing down. But then we also talked about financial literacy. And I just want to reiterate the financial literacy part. Financial literacy is not about knowing how to get good credit and having credit. It's not about knowing how to budget. It's not about how to balance a checkbook. It is not about all of these things. Financial literacy just says that I know how to make healthy, positive decisions with my money.
That's now, it. Hold up, because what we've been told or heard or assumed or however you come around with it, it don't come out that simple.
But that's all it is. That's all it is.
It's something deeper. Say that again for me, please.
Financial literacy is knowing how to make positive, healthy decisions regarding your money.
Wow.
That's it.
And that's so simplistic.
So in order for me to be a great decision maker, it's not about tools. I don't know how to use tools if I'm not all the way together.
Yeah.
So in order for me to make better decisions with my tools, I have to have my mental right.
Yes. Yes. That is correct. Woof. I feel like we just need to plug it right there for a second. But all right. So another question, because not only do you deal with single people, but you also deal with couples. So for our couples that could be that are listening to this show and this episode, when you have one that wants to kind of pull this way and the other one wants to pull in another way, and you know, they're trying to find that even ground in the middle. And you know, the you're not trying to send anybody to divorce court and you're trying to get them on one accord. Can you help the couples that are listening?
So I'm happy you spoke about that. It's divorce court, which means that the couples you're speaking of are married couples, right? Yes. Not that we're dating. Okay, great. Because that's two different conversations.
Yeah, we're married couples.
So married couples, if one is going left and the other is going right, then that means y'all are not communicating. Y'all are, let me break this down. When I say communicating, you may say, well, I am telling him what I have to say. And he's saying, I am telling her what I got to say. Everybody's telling each other something, but is anybody listening?
Yeah.
Is anybody comprehending? Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. When you're married, it's not an I, me thing, am I anymore. It's a we, an us, an our. Mm-hmm. Which means that you're going to have to take time with each other. So if I'm not communicating with you and I'm in a place of it's my way or the highway, then there's something working deeper in the situation that must be addressed. That's why you get a step forward and you take five steps back. You have to deal with the hidden issue. It's too late to turn back now. I'm going to be real with you. Coach E was married. Coach E made some big mistakes while she was married. But those mistakes I won't repeat again.
No, you won't.
But one of the biggest things was making sure our values were in sync. And number two, learning how to communicate. I was a spoiled brat. I had a lot of temper tantrums. Because I didn't want to hear anybody else.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. If you're sitting in a situation where you're saying it's my way or the highway, and you're not considering your partner, because see, here it is. You two are together.
Yeah.
Not one ahead of the other. You're together. Yeah. Yes, the husband is the head, but you are his help.
Yes.
So you both got to respect each other in your rightful places.
Yes.
So wow. You got to hear. I can see as the wife, I'm seeing things that my husband ain't seeing. And as the head, he's seeing things that I'm not seeing. So we have to be able to come together and have conversations about what we're each individually seeing and discerning.
Yes.
And then readdress where we're heading.
Mm-hmm.
The husband, look, it's not all about what the husband is, but hear me, he's the head. So he's navigating the ship.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is y'all's plan together?
Yeah, that goes back to that plan. Your goals, your plan. Mm-hmm.
I don't work with, if someone says I'm married, I need to talk to your significant other too. I can't work with just you.
Right.
Because what we're not going to do is you're not going to take the information and then try to throw it down their throat. Or now you tell my, I can't be with you because you don't, we're not doing that.
Right.
Right. Bring your husband or your wife to the table. We gonna all have a conversation.
I like that. It creates coming up front. It creates that understanding, because sometimes things can get misconstrued, and especially if you're talking to one partner and they're relaying it. I'm sure they're gonna be, not. Let me not say I'm sure, but it can be relayed differently or taken out of context, and people can feel like they're in a dictatorship. You know, because I'm just dictating, this is what has to be done. But I like the fact that you said communication, which means healthy communication. You can't just dictate, but you have to not only listen and hear and not just be so quick to respond, because sometimes we could do that too, or shut down because I want to get my point across and my point is the right thing, or this is what I know because this is what I've been taught, or that I've been doing it for so many years.
But really, absolutely,
bringing it together and working towards the plan together. So I like the fact of you stating that, you know, hey, no, I set that boundary up front. We are not going to cause any rifts, you know, any division. It's all or nothing. We have to have this as a team, because like you stated, you're one. When you are a married couple, you're coming in as one. So having both parties there, that's going to give that healthy expectation from the beginning.
Absolutely.
And it sets them up for success, you know, because you've hit on so many topics. And being that mindset is the first thing, even when you're one with somebody, you still have different thoughts, different opinions, different upbringings, you know, different things. So we have to battle that together and work through it together, you know, as a collective and as one unit. So, all right. So what are some suggestions, as we are going to be wrapping up soon and just kind of recapping some things, but what are some suggestions that you would give when people are getting started? Just, you know, some basic things to kind of really just say, okay, I understand I got to really work towards my mindset, got to get some books, get some materials, really start dealing with me. But I really want to at least start making some strides and working on my plan, working on my goals. What are some things that you could suggest to help people out?
Okay, so kind of what you already said. I mean, you want to move forward. All of that is moving forward.
Okay.
And I want to put the pen there for a second. Mm-hmm. All of that is propelling forward.
Okay.
It's not because I see the progress. It's starting the progress.
Okay, I like that. Starting.
So when you make a conscious decision to say, you know what, I have not been operating in a wealthy mindset or a prosperous mindset, I need to go inward and start dealing inwardly so that things can come out. It may take me a while for me to really see it in, you know, the bank accounts and all of that, right? In portfolios and stuff like that. And that's okay, because we're all at different starting places.
Yes.
But this getting started is where it's at. So if you say, I got to deal with the mindset, and you start that, perfect. You're on your way. If you say, you know what, I got the mindset, but I didn't know I needed the affirmations and the books, perfect. We're on the way. Maybe you say, I've done all of that. Now I need to get a plan. Perfect. You're on your way. So your starting place is always where you are, because after you do all of that, now it's implementation time. It's making sure that you're doing exactly what you have said that you're going to do. Right. Is everything lining up to meet that goal?
Gotcha. All right. Well, I appreciate all of your words of wisdom on today. And I'm just going to give a quick recap, because we've talked about fear. We've talked about pride. We've talked about a scarcity mindset on today. We've talked about wealth. We've talked about purpose, having your home run as a business, which is amazing. And in your business, you have a mission and vision. So your home should have a mission and vision. We've talked about your purpose. We've talked about when you are one with your spouse and how you guys need to come together. Healthy communication, no dictatorship. We've talked about assets, liabilities, and building those assets and understanding the season that you're in. And understanding that 90% of Americans, 90% of, not even just Americans, 90% of people don't have a spending plan. So you have to understand where your money is going. Money in your currency, it should be moving. So you can't just hoard it, can't just hold on to it. It should be flowing and it should be working for you. Am I missing anything? What are your closing remarks before we finish on today's episode? And if you have not listened to Coach E, I need you to please go check her out. She gives much more wisdom, many more tips. She is amazing. I need you to listen to her every Wednesday, 5 o'clock. Make sure that you're tapping in. Catch her. And if you have any questions, I want you to tell the people how they can sit down and book some time with you, how they can pour out, because you have so much that you're pouring into people. How can people really have some one-on-one time with Coach E?
So you can actually shoot an email to coachtalks@gmail.com. Again, you can email coachtalks@gmail.com. And then I will respond to you with a link to my calendar, and you can get, I do give away 15-minute free consultations, so we can kind of, you know, quickly dive into what's happening. Trust me, 15 minutes is a long time. Most people think that's not nothing. No, you can talk about a lot in 15 minutes. So we make it very point. We're very strategic about our time when we get together. I do want to there's a couple of things. So one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is when the scripture on the talents, when everybody was given a certain amount of talent, and talent is actually a form of currency at that time. And everybody except for one went and multiplied the talent. The other one was told that basically they had sinned, because they did not multiply the talent. They just hid their talent, right? So we could talk about that from a money standpoint, and we can also talk about that from a gift and talent place, okay? But we're going to talk about it from a money standpoint. From the money standpoint, that simply means is that we are required to create increase. We are required to increase. Everything about us is about increasing. Everything. And so when we're not increasing, we're not in flow with our God. It's all about increase. So that's one thing I want to leave. The second thing I want to leave is that we're coming up on one of the biggest holidays of the year. And most people wait until this time of the year to start taking from their paychecks to be able to spend. And so then you have people that go in debt, then you have people that are in depressed places because they say they don't have no money to put towards it, all of these different things.
Right.
I want to share a tip with you. This is something you can start putting in motion now for next year. And depending on how well you do it for this year, you may have a little bit in the pot. You might just be shopping a little later, but you may have a little bit in the pot that you can go and do a little something with. And that is, you know, Christmas comes around every year at the same time.
Right.
Do not wait until the last minute to put away monies for that.
Yeah.
You create a plan even for that. How much am I going to spend for Christmas? If you're like me, you're the one that does the cooking for the family, or you host the family. I don't want to say I do all the cooking because my mama does do some of the cooking, and I don't want to get off of this. And she be like, I know you didn't say you did it all. So I need to correct myself. I do the hosting and some of the cooking. She does come to the table with some plates and stuff. Okay? So we got to be real clear about that.
Right.
So even in that, are you providing any part of the dinner or the breakfast or brunch or whatever it is that you and your family get together to celebrate? How much do you want to spend on gifts? You understand what I'm doing? I'm creating a plan.
Yes.
Whatever that dollar amount is, I need to divide it over 10 to 11 months. And that's what I need to be putting aside every month out of my check. Yes. If I work 9 to 5 and I get paid every week, then I need to break that up over 4 weeks. If I get paid twice a month, I need to break it up over 2 times a month. If I'm a business owner, I need to take it out whenever I, you know, pay myself.
Right.
But waiting until the last minute, my biggest thing with you today is getting the discipline that is needed. And discipline is something that is built over time through consistency and determination. So if you consistently are saying, I'm putting this aside, I'm putting this aside, I'm putting this aside, then when Christmas comes and the holiday for everybody to shop, you're not going broke.
Yeah,
you're not waiting on that sale that may or may not come through.
Right.
You're not waiting on that bonus that may or may not come through. You're not depending on that paycheck that may or may not be enough.
Mm-hmm.
You've planned and you've allowed it to be put in an account that gets some type of increase on it.
Yes.
So that's all that I have to share today.
And I appreciate that tip. I was going to ask you, have you come back and finish up on another episode, because I was thinking about the holidays and giving some tips. So I appreciate you leaving us with that. Again, please tell the people how they can find you and reach out to you before mm-hmm. we close on out one last time.
Yes, you can email me at coachtalkswithanassshow@gmail.com. You may be a business owner and may want some business resources. You can always go to everythingnewcoaching.com. Again, that's everythingnewcoaching.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Coach E, for coming out. I appreciate you being a part of the Real Home Show on today. I know today's podcast was a little different, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. She has given so much wisdom and so many tips. So I hope that you guys have been able to take that in. If you have any questions about today's show or want to leave a comment, please go to Facebook at Real Home Show. Follow, like, share, pass this episode along to others that could be useful to them as well. And until next week, we will see you back. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Real Home. Make sure you're following all of my social media channels on Facebook at Tamara D. Taylor and Real Home Show, and on Instagram at Tamara Taylor, RVA, and at Real Home Show. Meet me here next week on Thursday from 6 to 7 on Heart Sound Radio.